Hi, Karen. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me. We have talked over the last couple of years about your journey with the Better Allies, which became the book. But I want to just go through and talk with you, get the whole story packaged from the beginning and understand it better. So what motivated you to start your Better Allies project, which I'm going to say is bigger than the book itself, clearly?
Thank you. And it is interesting. I'm glad we're starting there because I think it's important to understand the whole progression. So, in late 2014 is when I started the Twitter handle at Better Allies. And at the time, what was going on for me is I had left my career in tech. I had been a vice president of engineering, I had been building software products, I'd been doing that for a long time. But I became very passionate about initially gender diversity in tech, and I left sort of building software products behind so I could start helping women who are in the field to grow their career, to learn leadership skills, and most importantly, not drop out just because they felt they couldn't get ahead in a male-dominated field like tech. I wanted to help retain those women. I wanted to help them grow their careers. I wanted them to be successful. So I had left my career behind to start a new career as a leadership coach. That was about in 2012. I soon realized, though, I had a problem in that even if, like, I was great at helping my clients learn these new skills and so forth and lean into their careers, and they were amazing women, but all of them were working in tech companies that the closer you got to the C-suite, the maler and paler it got.
Right.
And I say that with all due respect to male and pale people out there. I'm pale myself, but it just that's what the demographics showed. And they were facing challenges that their industry, their companies were not meritocracies because the demographics just weren't showing that. So I decided, like, I really wanted to help change all of tech to be more inclusive so that my clients could get ahead. And at the time, I was thinking, well, what does anyone do when they want to kind of change the world these days? Is they start a Twitter handle. So,
Great.
I started the Twitter handle at Better Allies, and I wanted to reach primarily men, that I wanted to have all of them understand a little bit more, like raise awareness and for the men working in tech of things they could do, just small actions they could take to be more inclusive. Because I was really thinking, like, and this is based on my experience working in tech and talking to people. So, like, I think a lot of men either just don't see what they could do and therefore don't take action, or they've taken action in the past because they do see what they could do, but they haven't quite taken the right action, and they've been chastised, had their hands slapped, done some interaction that has caused them to pull back. So I wanted to change both of those things and show a path forward. And it was over 5 years ago now. I think at the time I was thinking, I want to be showing this in a firsthand kind of way, like things I could do if I were a man working in tech. And the Twitter handle from the very beginning just had this very much a first person voice of, I pledge to do this. I will do this. I'll look out for this. Things like, I will notice when an interruption happens in a meeting and redirect the conversation back to the person who was interrupted. Or I, will look out, or at our next all hands meeting, I will ask a question about what we are doing about pay inequity and fixing those inequities. Now, those things aren't necessarily a man speaking per se, but I did kind of start channeling, like, men I knew in tech that I respected, like, how would they approach this? What would they say? And it was all, as I said, first person. I did cross the line at times in terms of really assuming a male persona when I would start saying things like, I refuse to speak on all male panels. Okay, so as a woman,
Right.
I'd be great as on an all male panel for diversity. But I kept with the voice in terms of, I do this, I pledge, I will do this, I strive to do these things. Really thinking, I want to reach the men, I want to have a male voice speaking to them to break it down and show them the path forward. Now, this little Twitter handle, Anonymous, kept kind of growing in popularity, in popularity being that people would find it, of course, follow it, which is for any Twitter person is amazing when you get new followers. Then I would see people like tagging their friends, like, you know, hey, I just found the At Better Allies handle. They're great. You should follow them. You know, that was pretty great. So they would tag a bunch of friends. That would increase followers. I knew when I must have been, that Better Allies work must have been mentioned at like a conference, because a whole bunch of people from a certain discipline, like astrophysicist or something like that, would all follow me like on this, in the same 1 hour or 2 hour period. I'm like, I think I just got a shout out at a conference.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So totally cool. It started growing. And then, Anne, I love telling the story. I started getting speaking requests to this anonymous handle. And they typically went like this in direct message, like direct message received from somebody saying, hey, does anyone at the Better Allies Initiative do any public speaking? Because we have an event, or we'd like to invite you to speak at our company, our conference, whatever. Uh-huh. Now, can you imagine my reaction when someone would say, someone from the Better Allies Initiative? Because literally, like, I wasn't doing this full time. I have a coaching business I'm running. This is just something every now and then I would think of something, spot something in the news, some new research come, I tweet. Yeah. So anyway, so that was cool. Then the next thought was like, wait a second, I want to stay anonymous. So how do I handle this? So I would respond to them, and I simply would say, yes, one of our contributors does do public speaking, and we'll put you in touch with her.
Oh, perfect. Well played.
Of course. And then I go to my personal Twitter account, reach out to them, send them a message, say, hey, I'm Karen Catlin. I contribute to Better Allies, and I love public speaking. What do you have in mind?
Yeah.
So anyway, so I started doing some speaking, sharing this message of everyday simple actions people could take in the workplace. Again, and I want to emphasize that I expanded beyond just supporting women to supporting other members of underrepresented groups, like because of racial minority, being a racial minority, or members of the LGBT community, older workers, different abilities, and so forth. I tried to be more expansive, even though my initial focus and my lens personally is being a woman in this male-dominated field. So anyway, started doing some speaking. And every time during the question and answer period, someone would ask the question that it kind of went like this: hey, Karen, we want more of this. Do you have a book? And for a long time, I was saying, no, I don't have a book. I don't have a book. And I knew I needed to write it. So I did finally write the book. And the book is called Better Allies, as you mentioned. And it came out January 2019, which is about a year ago now.
Yep. And it has your name on it. So, you know, the curtain is pulled back. The curtain is back.
I should have. Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So as soon as I published that book, and like, you know, maybe it was I don't remember exactly when I claimed that I, you know, was the one who was behind this whole Twitter handle, but it was definitely leading up to the launch of the book. If not like at launch day, because as you know, writing a book is a lot of work, and I did want to get the credit for that. And frankly, I love speaking about this, so I wanted to build more of a repertoire around giving talks around this concept. So putting my name on that book was very important.
Sure.
So I shifted my focus and Twitter, my voice on Twitter. I still have that voice. I pledge to do this and all that, but it does say that this whole Twitter account is curated by Karen Catlin.
Yeah. So the book was the thing that it's, you weren't trying to, I can understand what you were doing, you know, trying to put it all, you're trying to put the words in the mouths of your readers too. It's like, I'm going to do this. It's a very first person pledge, but it's such a great story of, you know, so how did it feel different, you know, writing the book in your own perspective, because the book is very personal too. I've read the book. It's wonderful. It's beautifully written. And it's very personal to you. I can just see your personality in the book as written. So you, did you even consider trying to write the book in a different persona, or just that was,
it didn't make any sense. And there are a lot of first person stories that I share about my own experience, or just my perspective on things as I have come across them. And it, oh my gosh, I can't imagine having to write that third
person. No, that would be, it would be like ghostwriting for someone who's not real, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be strange.
I know, I have read the book by the person who has the Twitter handle, The Man Who Has It All. Have you read that book?
No, I haven't.
The Man Who Has It All is a funny Twitter handle that turned into a book. about taking these everyday things that are usually through a woman's lens and writing it as a man. And this man has it all. It's like the woman who has it all in terms of she has a career, a family, you know, whatever. But so it's the man who has it all. And it's things like, it just like flips your perspective on things. Like, I can't do it justice. So anyway, worth looking. But the person who writes that Twitter handle and then wrote the book stayed anonymous. It's interesting. So it is, they didn't want to come out in terms of owning who they are.
Yeah, I can understand that. So you started with Twitter, and then the Twitter built the speaking because people, I mean, obviously you're already, what people may or may not know, you were also co-author of the wonderful book, Present, A Techie's Guide to Public Speaking. So clearly you're a skilled and well-practiced public speaker. So, and then where did you also, you know, I know that you have a newsletter with five ally actions every week. That started before the book,
did start before the book. And roughly, I'm trying to think of the timing. I believe probably a year or so before the book, I started writing that, maybe a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And so that newsletter, Five Ally Actions, of course, was written anonymously because I had not yet published my book. So it was still anonymous in terms of do this. And there was a lot of that I started to use, like, you know, we here at Better Allies believe this or that kind of thing. So there was, just to make it a little bit personal, but yet it wasn't, because it was just this, like, who works on this? It wasn't signed by anyone. It was just Better Allies. I write that and I sent it out every week. And after, it wasn't until my book, Better Allies, had been out a year. I had, you know, claimed ownership of this is my work. It wasn't until a year later when I read your most recent book, or not your most recent, but the third edition of Subscription Marketing. It's not your most recent book, but your most recent release. I read your book, and one of the pieces of advice you have is to make communication, like newsletters, be very personal. Make sure there's a person behind that people can relate to, that they can relate to. I mean, here I am trying to put in words what I took away from your book. I'm sure you could explain it more eloquently, but I took a pause at that point and I said, oh my gosh, am I making a mistake with my newsletter that I've never shifted to be it, you know, first person from Karen Catlin, sign it at the bottom, the whole thing. Have I been making a mistake? Now, my newsletter's, it grows every week. I'm very proud of it. It gets shared internally at companies. I hear from people. It's meeting a need, but you kind of wonder, like, what would be different if I were doing this from my voice?
Right.
So literally, it's only been a couple weeks now. I have shifted to have it be from me. The very top of it says that these are curated by Karen Catlin. I write in first person now. You know, what I've learned, what I'm doing, what I recommend. And at the bottom, I sign it with just text, of course, but Karen Catlin, founder of Better Allies or author of Better Allies. I can't remember what I write.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, it's a work in progress now in terms of an experiment. I don't think I'd go back to doing it more anonymously or have this illusion. I think I was trying to have an illusion of this is bigger than just me, so I never signed it. But hey, me. I get help with it. I certainly have an editor and someone who helps with some of the logistics of the mechanics of sending out a newsletter, but it is me behind it. And I should own that.
Yeah. Does it feel any different writing the newsletter? I mean, you sent me a little ping about that. I'm like, oh, that's fascinating. So that's why I had to ask you.
It is a little bit easier.
Is it easier? It's easier because of yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Interesting. That's fascinating. Well, I love the progression of this. And so now just to continue. So we begin with Twitter. We add a newsletter. It's all kind of what I want to say is organic growth in the sense it's being driven by the responses you're getting. You're proving the market. You're building the platform, you know, tweet by tweet, which is just such a great story. Then there's a book. And now, again, people said, we need to be able to apply this to the hiring process. So you've come out with the Better Allies Guide to Hiring.
Yes.
Or approach to hire. I messed up the title. Better Allies Approach to Hiring. Right. The whole thing has been essentially driven by you engaging with your audience, right?
Yes. Oh, I started off to change the world. Yes, that was sort of like this very aspirational, but I had no idea I would be speaking, writing a book or two about this and having this newsletter. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No, I had no plan really. It has been organic. It's where this just has all, it's all just grown from that initial thought of, I want to help men understand the role they have to play and they can play and what they can do about it.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I mean, it went from your motivation to inspire this change in a very concrete way, and then exactly how that unfolds is being driven by the people you're trying to reach, which is just so cool. It's such a great story. And you would never have plotted it out this way if I, you know, 2012, you would never have said, this is what I'm doing. Right. Oh, I love this story. So, you know, there's a moral in here somewhere for people who want to make some change that maybe, you know, a small start, you know, you can start with Twitter. You can start with 140 characters at a time. Cause I imagine in 2014, it was still 140 characters.
Yes, it was hard. Yeah.
Makes you be very concise about your thoughts, and that's good. But you can start with that and see what happens as you go. Right.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. This may be a little off, not the script, we don't have a script, but off the topic a little bit, but I really, it's like this trend these days of like taking a small step towards a new habit.
Mm, yeah.
You know, I don't know if you've been like standing on one foot while you're brushing your teeth to, you know, improve your balance, for example, like look for something that's just small that you can start doing. I don't know. So maybe there's some connection there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a BJ Fogg's new book on tiny habits, right?
I mean, he's Tiny Habits. I think I couldn't remember the name. Yes.
Tiny Habits. Yep. Yeah. Well, I think that's true. And one of the things I think that the tiny habits show us is that sometimes our behavior can drive our beliefs, you know? So if you said, you know, Karen, can you make a huge impact on the tech industry and its treatment of women in 2012? You'd be like, yeah, but I could put out a tweet, you know, and I could build a Twitter platform. I could try that, you know, I mean, and then as you do it and you see you're making an impact, then it gives you inspiration to continue.
Definitely. Definitely. The positive reinforcement I get when I do anything is really important to me. That's just what drives me to keep pressing forward, to get creative, to stick with something when it's hard. I need that positive reinforcement. And let me tell you, I do get it on Twitter, even though so many people think it's like this cesspool or whatever. But anyway, it's amazing the positive reinforcement I get.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. And that your mission has grown and expanded as you've encountered more people in the sense of looking at underrepresented groups as a whole, mm-hmm. not just women in tech, has been fascinating.
Oh, and I'll say building on that, I never anticipated the following. I am starting to get interest from outside of tech. I mean, I only know tech. That's where I grew up. That's my career. But I have speaking engagements at apparel manufacturers coming up. I'm speaking at credit union. I got feedback from a medical doctor saying how important my book was to her as a woman in a medical office, but also as a doctor who needs to treat patients from underrepresented groups.
Interesting.
I am so excited about, and again, never anticipated that my work, my focus on tech could be applied to all these other areas, professional areas, and have that, I don't know, just the impact even multiplied further. It's really exciting for me.
That is very exciting. That's very cool. Well, you know, alas, tech is not the only industry in which women and other groups or minorities are underrepresented. But the physician's thing about taking it, you know, not even as an employer, but how do I treat my patients? Now, that's a really interesting twist.
So, yes. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. It's a great story. It's inspiring. The interesting twist on it for me is that, you know, you started out by you wrote about what you knew, which was the tech industry, but not in your own voice. You chose a persona that was people that you did know. You could put yourself in the mindset of colleagues you worked alongside for years, no doubt. That helped you get started too. It helped you find a place to contribute in a way that made sense.
Yes.
It's a great story. It's a great story. Oh, well, I can hardly wait to see what you do next.
Me too. There's no game plan.
There's no game plan. It's what evolves, you know, which is great. I think too, people like to, you know, the hindsight is like, oh, well, my master strategy, well, you know, we kind of figure it out. We all look at other people and figure they must have master strategies.
And, yeah. So many of us don't. Exactly.
Yep. Yeah, just reacting and paying attention and living a purpose. So
yes,
very cool.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen, for talking with me and sharing your story. It's great. I love it.
My pleasure. It's been fun, Anne. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you for the positive reinforcement.
Always, always. Whenever you need it, just let me know.
All right.
Sounds good. Thanks.